You're listening to the Potential Cast, Season 1, Episode 10, Nightmares. The nightmare world of a comatose child sends Buffy and her friends into a realm where their worst nightmares become reality. My name is Stephanie.
My name is Kimberly.
I'm Gabby.
I'm Illyrio.
And I'm Robin. Scarg!
Together we are Scarg.
Scarg!
I have been so looking forward to this. I traveled all the way to Canada to be a part of it.
Yay.
Yay!
Have you heard of a thing called Skype?
Skype?
You know, you could have just Skyped in. You didn't have to come all the way up here.
This podcasting thing is new to me. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, we are the latest casualty on Robin's campaign to take over all of podcasting.
Consider yourself notched.
Yes.
All right, Robin. We got to be careful not to spoil the potentials.
Oh.
Okay.
I've never listened to this show before. I can't imagine what this, you're talking about. No. Absolutely. I am totally aware. And I really think this show works so awesomely. And whenever like a guest or maybe you, Steph, kind of slip, I grit my teeth because, you know, the less everybody knows is so good.
Yeah. It's so good you don't want to ruin it
right,
for them.
Right.
Right.
Well, that's very kind of you. Thank you.
No problem.
Mm-hmm. I was watching something the other day, and I think I was spoiled about something, but because I don't know, because on Much Music here in Canada, they play Buffy between 7 and 9 every day.
Uh-huh.
And I was flicking the channels and it was on, and I was like so far away from the TV when I realized Buffy was on. So I'm like screaming, la 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 la, as I run back to the TV and turn it off. I'm like,
that's awesome.
Voices. So, yeah, it's tough to stay spoiler free,
mm-hmm.
especially since the show is over and done with. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for not spoiling us, guys.
Yeah, there's so many articles that I read that I want to send to you guys, but there'll be like one sentence in there that just totally spoils everything, and I can't send it to you.
So what do you think of a nightmare?
What did you think?
I thought it was okay. Yeah, I don't know, because to me, this episode, again, it was like one of the standalone episodes. The biggest thing that we learn, I think, in the overall arc of everything is Buffy is terrified of, and one of her nightmares is turning into a vampire, mm-hmm. which is pretty awesome. And considering she's in love with a vampire, it's also very Romeo and Juliet-esque. So...
Mm-hmm.
That was my favorite bit of the episode.
I think my wife's worst fear is to turn into me, so I can identify with that.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed this one.
Sorry, go ahead, Illyrio.
I really enjoyed this one more than I thought I would. Like, I was watching it, and I was kind of getting it, and I was a little underwhelmed at first, and then when things kind of started to get going, and they accelerated everybody's nightmares... Frankly, the moment for me that made it an episode I enjoyed was when Willow was all of a sudden whisked on stage and had to perform a song she did not know. And I have had that dream. I have had that kind of nightmare. And worse, I've actually been in that situation for real, not in a dream, where I had to start a song and I forgot how to start the song. And then when I started it, it was at half speed. And I didn't realize until there were 30 seconds left in the song. So that really helped me out with the episode.
This kind of reminds me of an incident that happened with my daughter back when she was like in like 7 years old, and she was in a little school play, and she had like I think a line.
Was it Oedipus?
No, Medea. she had a line to do, and it finally got to her part, and you could see, like, her face turn white, and her cure for the situation was to fall over backwards. And everybody kind of, like, laughed, and it was kind of awkward, and she stood back up, and then somebody kind of, like, you know, a teacher was like, and she's like, okay, I'll say my line. But it was pretty cute, but I felt totally humiliated for her.
The funny thing about that scene where Willow is singing, and I could not stop picturing you, Illyrio. I'm sorry. That Italian singer looks just like
her. Yeah. Especially the look of disdain on his face is exactly what it looked like when some amateur shows up and she hasn't practiced.
I put in my notes, funniest part was when Willow sings with Illyrio. Like you were saying, it took a while for it to get going, mm-hmm. because a lot of the people's, or the characters, I should say, their dreams were kind of like on a superficial level, mm-hmm. but Buffy's were so deep, you know, stuff with her dad and the vampire.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
Oh, my God. That was
deep. I was like, oh, it's like the worst thing ever.
I felt like tweeting, and I'm like, Buffy's dad's a real douche.
But her stuff is so harsh when everyone else is like, oh, well, my worst nightmare is having a bad hair day and being on the chess team. Really, Cordelia? Okay.
You know, she would make a great Annette Funicello, I think.
Yeah, she would.
She really looked like her.
Well, I think some people think that Nightmares, it was too early in the series to try this, that the characters weren't developed enough. We didn't know enough about the characters for it to really make the impact that he wanted it to make.
Hmm. Really?
Yeah.
I can see that point, but at the same time, to me, it helped me understand the characters more by knowing what mm-hmm. their nightmares and what their deepest fears were. And I really, really thoroughly enjoyed this episode. I also love the fact that it was so dark, just like my other favorite episode from the beginning of the season. And I liked how the whole thing was so surreal that I know a couple times I had to stop and I'm like, okay, is this for real? Or is this one of their nightmares come to life? Or what exactly is going on here? And it just looked mm-hmm. different. It was, I really enjoyed this episode.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if you notice, Buffy's nightmare, of course, involved meeting the master for the very first time. Mm-hmm. Now, as you're watching this as a newbie, you might think, well, how does she know what the master looks like?
What does he look like? Exactly.
Mm-hmm. But that really isn't a goof. It kind of has to do with Buffy. So,
is it because of that kid, the Billy, that he mm-hmm. was allowed to
Mini Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
Present himself?
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It's the kid from Third Rock from the Sun. Cobra Commander?
Sorry, what did you say?
So through Billy, he was allowed to present himself to Buffy? Like she actually saw him?
I don't think that it works that way, right? I mean, well, maybe, because then
that's
you can
kind of what I got from the scene where he said to her, this is real life, you know, mm-hmm. and for Buffy, things are not as they seem, kind of like Desmond in Lost, bring it back to Lost. Yes. I thought he actually presented himself to her.
This is what happened.
That's what I thought.
The first scene, she's having a dream, and because of her Slayer, she's sensitive, and she's because her sensitivities as being a Slayer, and she's her prophetic dreams. This is a prophetic dream.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that could happen in the future. Mm. So that's how she knows what he looks like. And then when she does see him in the graveyard, and he says, "A dream is a wish your heart makes." He is out of the Hellmouth. He is out in our real world. But at the end, when Billy takes the mask off the ugly man, is it the ugly man?
Mm-hmm.
Then the reality goes back to our reality.
Mm-hmm.
And the master is still stuck down in the Hellmouth. Yeah.
Was he quoting Cinderella? Is that something?
Some Disney thing.
I just didn't think Master was a fan.
Pinocchio.
Pinocchio, yeah.
Isn't that a Jiminy Cricket thing going on there? Or the Blue Fairy?
Does that mean that the master is Buffy's conscience?
No.
Okay, never mind.
I think Cinderella was saying that while she was making her dress. I mean, I have a daughter.
She had some sweatshop with poor little animals for her.
The animals were singing that song. Yeah. Yeah. With her or something, yeah.
Poor little mice.
Sure.
Do we want to get started with feedback?
I think so.
Sure.
Okay.
Oh, hold on. I got to get up.
Can I start?
What do you mean you're going to start?
Yeah. I have some feedback. It's the Wiggins. It's not the wig. It's the Wiggins.
Okay, what does that mean? Like it's
like the heebie-jeebies.
Okay. It wigs you out.
Yeah.
Okay. When people watched the show back in the day, did they actually talk like this? Was Josh Whedon trying to influence, you know, pop culture and have everyone say wig out or whatever? Because I've never in my life heard that expression before.
I don't think I've heard the Wiggins until I've met watched Buffy. But I have heard people saying, like, oh, you're going to wig out, you know?
Sure.
I have heard you're going to wig out, but gave me the wig, I've never heard.
Yeah. Never.
I think you said wig, though. I don't know.
I've never heard that one, so. Wig or Wiggin. Robin, I would like to say that I bow down to your Disney knowledge, sir. You are. I bow down to you.
Oh, have you checked it?
Cinderella, yes. Yes.
Robin is a cornucopia of knowledge.
A Disney.
Oh, yeah.
A Disneyfile.
Gabby doesn't know Robin either. I'm sorry, Gabby. Oh, yeah. We didn't interview.
I heard him on 100,000 different podcasts.
Oh, really? You know that many?
I've been harassing her on Twitter too. So
yeah.
And he's from the Great Northeast. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
All right. So shall I read Bob's email?
Yes.
Sure.
So Bob writes, concerning The Puppet Show, The Puppet Show is an episode which shows that not all Monster of the Week episodes are poor. This episode has no Angel, no Master, no Jenny Calendar, not even the Bronze, and I like it quite a bit. It does have Snyder at his nasty best. Notice that two good characters, Snyder and Jenny Calendar, have been added to the cast so far. There will be many good ones coming up. A great funny one-off character in Sid. The wonderfully cringe-inducing talent show performances, including Buffy, Xander, Willow at the end. Fodder for a Buffy drinking game. Giles taking off and or cleaning his glasses. Oh, I hadn't even noticed how often he did that. It's Buffy cliche almost as popular as Giles being knocked unconscious. Giles getting rid of Cordelia by mentioning her hair. That worked just like Xander said it would. That worked just like Xander said it would. And I think, most importantly, a good mystery with lots of misleads and red herrings and a puzzle which was solved by research and logic by the Scoobies as a group rather than just by Buffy beating up some random enemy. Bob DeGrand.
Yes.
Thanks, nice. Bob. Very good
Thanks,
points.
Bob.
I definitely Thanks. Take issue with one of your points, though. The addition of Nikki Paolo in the third season, not... what show am I
on? That's not the right show, man. That's not the right show. Kim has to read the next one.
Okay. Gax. Just listen to iRobot Eugene episode of Potential Cast. Missed Kim. Oh, thanks. Just being ghastly, something missed. I just wanted to send email and feedback, partially to give you the strength to keep going on and not abandon this podcast like so many others have abandoned. I just love your show. First off, I just wanted to weigh in on the whole dated internet thing. Since the late 90s was when I went to high school, I remember the time vividly. I particularly remember how the internet seemed so mysterious and, well, scary. It wasn't all dancing hamsters. The anonymity of the internet was both desirable, I could geek out without anyone knowing, and problematic. The person you talk to online could very well be evil. This was the beginning of the internet
predators and way before social networking had us posting our pictures and documenting our every thought for the world to see. I particularly remember that my best friend went to meet a guy in a Wheel of Time form. I don't know if it was the episode of Buffy that made me worried or if it was just, or if I was just worried over my friend getting so serious over a guy she'd never seen. She even went to a Renaissance fair over several state lines and planned to meet him there. Fortunately, her mom went with her, but I remember being really worried for her. I actually like the episode iRobot Eugene. Of course, I don't have to have an episode contribute to the season-long story arc. I sometimes like the standalone episodes way better. And oh, should I read this? In season 4, I really don't like the overarching.
It's non-spoilery. It's very vague.
Yeah. The final scene of this episode is one of my favorites of the series. I was disappointed no one talked about it. Will remarks that it has to say something about her if only her demons like her. Buffy and Xander say she's wrong, pointing out their own hairy love lives, She-Mantis, Angel. They laugh jokingly that they will never be happy. They will never have a happy, normal relationship. Then their laughter falters and they're again depressed. I absolutely love that scene, especially when one sees it after 7 seasons.
Yeah.
The next episode, Puppet Show, is also pretty weak, with a few laughably bad scenes. Man, I can't wait for the season 2 stunt choreography, but it also has one of the best ending scenes over the ending credits that I like to call Ovidius Rex.
Oedipus.
And we get... Oh, I'm like, whatever. And we get another fantabulous character, Principal Snyder, who should be pretty darn familiar to any Star Trek fans out there. Keep up the good work. Lasso can back up for the next episode, but don't make her read another email. Thank you.
Potential cast, where we're so afraid of spoilers, we're going to la, 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 la through parts of your email. Thank you very much, Angela, who is not Kim's sister.
Thank you.
Okay, let me read this one from Andrew, because this is fascinating. Okay. This is from Andrew McDermott. Dearest Gax, or rather Gas, since this is in reference to something from the 8th episode discussion. Okay. I'm sure you'll get a ton of messages like this one, but it really struck me as odd when you all questioned Buffy's misunderstanding of Willow saying online. Being from Central Jersey, I'm an avid fan of standing online, as it's where I can wait to make purchases, get movie tickets, and get on the roller coaster. When you began to classify it as a Long Island thing, I quickly scurried from my linguistics textbook for my freshman year of college. As an English major, I geeked out over language like that, and found the section on regional dialects. Saying online rather than inline is identified as a very New York dialectal trait, and so congratulations on IDing the turn of phrase pretty closely. Okay. Also, while flipping through one of my grammar books for the coming semester, I actually found a reference to Buffy and her Slayer slang in the text.
I'll say that 5-10 times.
Yeah, it points out how Buffy, the film and television show, along with Heathers and Clueless, have helped to spread the California slang across the nation since the 90s and beyond. And so, hope you are enjoying your first foray into, or for some, return to the Buffyverse. Enjoy the trip. It only gets better from season 1. Andrew.
I gotta go. I didn't come here to learn anything.
Well, thank you very much, Andrew. I think you've proved yourself to be a cunning linguist. Thanks for the email. I really appreciate the fact that you researched it, and I also geek out about stuff like that. There is an etymology book in our house.
All right. Gabby, you want to read the next one?
Okay. Hey, Gas. And we missed you, Kay.
Yay.
Just a quick note about we did miss you.
I missed you so much. I was delirious. It was terrible. It was really bad.
He was crying.
Yes. You really have to listen to the last episode, Kim. It was really like, you know, a tribute. A tribute, really.
Just a quick note about iRobot Eugene. When I was trying to get my 25-year-old son to watch Buffy, I was dreading this episode. He's really into computers, and actually, he appreciated the quaintness of the old technology. He told me that the line, "If you're not jacked in, you're not alive," is from, is from the iconic science fiction novel Neuromancer by William Gibson, written in 1984. And, of course, one of the computer geeks had to be named Dave, a la 2001.
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
Otherwise, I think this episode is pretty pathetic, except for Jenny Callender and the scene at the end with Buffy, Willow, and Xander. By the way, I enjoyed hearing Brian's voice. I just caught up to the present with his Hellmouth podcast, and I'm really enjoying listening to both your podcasts. I think it's great that you support each other. Still loving the show, Shelley. Thanks, Shelley.
Thank you very much, Shelley.
Thanks, Shelley.
This online inline debate could range on for centuries. Mm-hmm. I do believe.
It can.
But it and is, you do stand in line, not online.
You do. You stand in line.
Yes. When you're standing on a line, it's a physical line. You're standing in the line. You're making the line. Thank you. You're welcome.
Robin, do you want to chime in?
Robin?
I have nothing useful to say.
No,
Robin,
but about this?
No.
No. All right. Robin doesn't want to ruffle any feathers.
We can skip this.
Okay.
I love it how we actually got an email that says spoilers in the subject. Attention, Stephanie. And I actually started reading it.
What?
And I was like, oh, no, wait. It actually says one more warning about spoilers. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to look anymore. So, I don't know. Just weird.
It's supposed to keep us away.
I know. It's making me want to read it. I've been actually pretty impressed. I've been spoiler-free, and I haven't really gone ahead of any of the episodes that we've been watching. Like, I've just been sticking to watching the two before we record each time. Because, I don't know, I just figured Lost is over. There's nothing else to be spoiler-free about. I might as well be spoiler-free about this 14-year-old show. Yeah. So
if you guys were in this episode, what would your nightmare be?
Xander's.
Yeah?
The clowns or the nudity?
Probably the clowns, yeah. But I've had like all these nightmares. Really? I think he really kind of pulled from very common nightmares. Those common nightmares.
Speaking of Xander, speaking of Xander, what is up with all the Nazi references? Seriously! I don't even know. I need to go back and start counting them all. I was like, as soon as they were in Xander's scary clowny nightmare, and there was a swastika, and he's like, chocolate, or whatever. I'm like, seriously?
I know. His nightmare, I could not understand. It was weird to me. It was very, like, the location that it, and just, it just didn't make any sense. But I had a conversation with somebody on Twitter. He showed me, I read his like blog post about this episode. It helped me to understand it better. Xander makes a reference in the very beginning of the episode, something about Nazis. And so when we see his nightmare, there are the swastikas, and that's, we're supposed to think, it's a mislead. It's supposed to make us think,
he
make
will be
us
attacked
expect
by Nazis.
Nazis.
Yeah.
And it ends up being a clown. And it's just, it's weird.
There was a Nazi robot. Wait, an iRobot Eugene. There's just like Nazi stuff all over the place. And I'm wondering how many more references there will be throughout the entire series. I'm gonna start making a count, like a dude count.
Wait, so Nazi count.
A swastika count. A swastika count.
The show is actually just a giant anti-Semitic diatribe written in code. Who knew? Just to be clear, I was
kidding. That Joss Whedon.
That was a joke. Just to be clear, that
so
was
is the moral of this episode, face your demons?
I guess.
Yes.
Or was it a very special Buffy episode?
Yeah. Well, no, wait. I think we should back up. What would everybody's nightmare be?
Oh, sorry.
I think it would, I mean, for myself, it would probably involve bugs of some kind.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of insects. There's something about an exoskeleton that really bothers me. Like, your skeleton should be on the inside of your body, not on the outside. Like, breathing through the side of your body. I mean, who does that?
Seriously.
Who does
Illyrio,
that?
In Canada, do you have those bugs that, like, late in the summer...
I'm sorry, I was waiting for Steph to go, in Canada, do you have exoskeletons on the inside of your body?
In Canada, do you have those bugs that leave their exoskeleton and on the sides of trees?
I had one.
Yeah, they shed their skin, yeah.
I had one on the side of the concrete wall at the top of my basement stairs, and I did not dare go near that thing. I took a picture of it. It was just huge. I think it was a cicada or something. I don't know. But boy, that thing grossed me out. I can't stand the... Like, seriously, guys, I'm so turned off by exoskeletons. I cannot stand lobsters and crabs and just...
Really?
Lobster to me is the cockroach of the sea.
Yeah. What about shrimp?
It's just a giant swimming sea bug. Like, I could never... Like, I'm not supposed to be delicious with melted butter. And I've had lobster and I have enjoyed it, but the whole... I mean, you're... Ugh. It's phobia.
Mm.
Sorry. Steph, what would your nightmare be?
I have no idea, because I don't remember my dreams, so I'm not really afraid of anything much. You know, nothing really creeps me out. I don't know. I can't come up with anything.
Wow.
Wow.
Gosh, I have like 12.
Now I feel like a giant wimp.
You have 12?
Yeah. Like, anything to do with, like, mice and rats, I'm out.
Wow.
Anything to do with being nude anywhere, I'm out. Like, oh, I would have, like, so many. Like, even the spider thing at the beginning, spiders don't creep me out, but big tarantulas all over me, I'm like, ugh. Like, watching that scene, I'm, like, dusting off my arms, like, ah!
Yeah, that was not a fun thing to watch.
No. And when it went down his face and across his mouth, I was like, yeah.
Poor,
gosh,
Wendell.
So...
Poor Wendell. Poor Wendell, indeed. Poor Kim.
Poor Wendell.
Wendell.
Gabby?
I have...
No Starbucks anywhere? Is that what your nightmare would be?
No, that's a dream, not a nightmare. Unless somebody can't order in front of you because they're on their cell phone. But whatever. I was hot.
Anyway. Is your nightmare opening up your wallet and looking at your ID and it says Debbie?
No, it's actually, there's two reoccurring ones as an adult. Either A, I'm back in high school. I swear to you, this is one where, like, it's me, a handful of people that I actually went to high school with, trapped in the high school. And for some reason... there's always some big test, and if I don't pass it, I can't graduate and become an adult. It's like this weird, crazy thing. Yeah. The other one is being buried alive. Ooh. Terrified of being buried alive. Don't know why. Very irrational. When that happened, totally freaked out. Whenever I see it in movies, even when I think about it, it gives me the heebie-jeebies. Being buried alive freaks me out.
Well, you have something in common with Sarah Michelle Gellar. I was actually looking up some fun facts of this episode, and... That is like her greatest nightmare. It's so bad, in fact, that when they actually have to shoot, like, in a real graveyard, she gets freaked out. And this is Buffy the Vampire Slayer, so it's a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, real, they freak me out, and I won't step on people, and I will walk around bodies and on the other side of gravestones, so I'm afraid I'm going to step on somebody. Mm. And really, I'm insane. Basically, I'm telling everybody right now, but yeah, being buried alive freaks me out.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I think, yeah, I've never been to a cemetery, and I think if I went, I would do the same thing.
Mm. I've been to cemeteries. That's they're funny. Not, I mean, they're actually just kind of crowded. It's like, man, this place needs to be gentrified. There's just...
People are dying to get in.
San Diego Coffin Con.
Terrible.
Wow, Robin, I'm impressed.
That's why there are fences around them.
Oh, but yeah, I'm just, you know, it's like way too many graves here. How am I supposed to find the one I'm looking for? It was just always hard to find the grave I'm looking for. It was just, anyway. And they don't have a proper website that'll let you find the proper. I'm just complaining at this
point. Do you want to check in at like a certain grave? Or?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I go visit a grave every once in a while, like every few years. And it's like, you know, I always forget where it is. And it doesn't matter if I make a little map or if I remind myself that when I do go how to get there, I always forget how to get to that particular grave. Because it's just headstone after headstone after headstone. It doesn't, you know, like it doesn't creep me out, but it just frustrates me. You know?
Yeah.
Is anyone else kind of disappointed with how this episode kind of turned into an after school special? Don't beat up the kid.
Yes. Yes. I was loving it. Thought it was awesome. It was almost my favorite episode ever. And then that happened. I'm like, aw, seriously? It became a very special episode.
I didn't like that turn. You know, I mean, I felt it was.
Oh, figuring out that Billy.
Yeah, that it was the coach.
Chimo.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, really? We're doing a, you know, an abuse awareness episode?
But it was an abuse awareness episode without any abuse.
Well, alluded abuse? He's in a coma because of the coach, right?
Oh, and something else. I'm sorry. Not at all believable. If I was a little kid, how old was he?
He must have been like
12 or 13.
He's 12 years old. If I'm 12 years old and the guy that beat me so badly that I'm in a coma, I just woke up from my coma, and I look up and he's there, I'm not going to be calm like that little Billy was. I'm going to be flipping out hysterical.
Dude.
But he just beat him in his dream, so he feels good. So he's not scared anymore.
And Buffy's there. She just like...
Yeah.
I don't know, guys.
And Buffy's there.
I don't know.
And Xander was there.
That really rang.
Zilla was there.
Ah.
Anyway.
I'm probably just being a grump about it.
Suspension
but...
of disbelief, Illyrio. That's what all of our fans are saying. Come on.
No, you're right.
If one more person says that, I might jump through my computer and punch them in the face. We get it. Thank you. But we love our fans. Thanks.
So very difficult being so popular, you know.
Mm-hmm.
wait, that's the next episode.
Spoiler alert!
Yeah, sorry.
Gosh.
So, any major points of revelation that anybody wants to bring up?
I've got so many,
Robin.
Oh my god, I've got pages.
Really? Robin, go for it.
What's with the Anointed One's synthesized voice?
Yeah, I noticed that too.
Like, really?
It wasn't even properly auto-tuned. It was like... he almost sounded like Kit from The Knight Rider.
So I honestly don't remember. I mean, I haven't been watching along with you. I've just been listening. I never remembered him having a synthesized voice. Has he had that all along?
No, he hadn't. I believe this was the first occurrence of the synthesized voice.
So weird.
Yeah.
Does it have to do with him being a vampire? Because the master says, well, you remember when you were a real boy.
Yeah. But, I mean, why doesn't every other vampire have a...
I don't know. I'm not sure. But now, John, when John was on with us, you know, several episodes back, he alluded to knowing what was going on about that.
Huh. Okay.
I'm not sure.
Why is it that all nurses and doctors insist that their patients rest when they need to be questioned? Like, it happens in every show. Well, we need some valuable information. We have to get at it. No, he's got to rest. No. You are bothering him. I know I let you in, but now I'm taking it back.
And the patient's got to rest right now, but we're going to wake them up every 30 minutes in the middle of the night.
Do you do that stuff? Do you kick people out? Like, whoa, no questions.
And what's up with them giving so much information? They're like, are you family? No, we're friends. Okay, well, then I'm going to give you all this information. Not only about the patient you're going to see, but the kid down the hallway. I'm like, what's that? Because you said you were a friend, not a family. I'm like, that's way too much information.
The doctor-patient privilege is, you know, it's the hell mouth. What are you going to do?
Oh, the hell mouth. That crazy hell mouth.
The center of it's the convergence of what again?
Mystical
convergence, and nobody gets sued for divulging personal information.
We should have it memorized like a mission statement for a company already. They mentioned it so many times.
You want me to just keep going?
No, go for it.
I didn't know the T-Birds went to Sunnydale High. Let's
see. Like,
yeah,
this is Grace.
Oh,
I thought they were Shanana.
I thought they were the Outsiders for a second, actually.
Do it for Johnny, man. Yeah. For Johnny.
But even Cordelia, earlier on, Robin, you were saying that she'd make a great Annette Vitello. Like, I bet you she had a hickey that day, and that's why she had that scarf on her neck. I
Are
bet
you implying
you
that Cordy has a bun in the oven?
Hey, now.
Maybe.
Spoiler alert.
She wasn't Rizzo. She's the other one.
Andy? Frenchie? Yeah.
Frenchie. Hey, wait, I think I should be offended by that slur. But I'm not.
No, I haven't said anything about your pink hairdo, but I'm surprised.
I think it's just a trick of the lights.
I gotta say, Walter Murphy does the score for only the first season, and it is so gosh darn terrible. It is campy in some parts, and it sounds like it honestly sounds like some sort of wacky show in certain like the fight scenes in the fight scene in the gym especially really struck me. But I have to tell you guys that Christoph Beck takes over in the second season. The score gets better. In fact, they did release a soundtrack for the score, and nothing from the first season is on there. But it's funny enough, I looked him up, and it turns out that Walter Murphy actually now does the score for all of the Seth MacFarlane cartoons.
Oh, really?
So, if you think the score is kind of wacky.
he's better suited for cartoons.
Yeah.
Any
other points?
Anyone else want to pipe in some points?
Robin, did you notice, when they're discussing what's going on in the library, and Xander says to Giles, you know, it's like our dreams are coming true, our nightmares. And Giles says, dreams, that would be a musical comedy version
of
this.
I heard that. And I was like, huh.
Yes, that was, you just stole one of my quotes. Thank you.
Or at the beginning, when Willow and Buffy are talking about how Buffy's parents didn't really fight in front of her, that they kind of kept it away, you know, kept her from it. Willow says, well, all my parents really do are glare.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see, there's another. What's my other
That's
point?
Some foreshadowing that we shouldn't really listen to?
Oh, when Willow.
Should we be ignoring
her right now? When they're talking about the spiders. And Willow says, you know, they've got so many legs. What do they need?
Oh, I see what you're getting at.
What do they need with all those legs anyway?
I see what you're getting at. Yes.
So there's some foreshadowing?
Or some homages in later. Yeah.
All right. We'll keep our eyes out and ears out.
Yes.
How about that hilariously bad special effect with the giant flies outside the window?
Yeah, I thought they were hornets.
The hornets?
Yeah. kind of freaked me out, actually.
Yeah?
I don't like bugs either, you know.
Yeah. And those exoskeletons.
You're afraid they're going to shed their exoskeleton?
You know. Hey. Yeah. You know. Yeah.
Sorry.
Pretty much.
Buffy had like MGM lion super vampire growl. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Just like
pretty impressive. I don't know. I found her vampire makeup to be of higher quality than a lot
Me
of the
too.
Other vampires.
I was just going to say that.
And no, she was a hot vampire.
She was. And I got to say, the pigtail look on her, hello.
I did not like that at all. I did not like that look on her at all.
Oh, wow.
At all, at all, at all, at all. I must say that her tossing and turning in bed was ridiculously funny. Destiny, no escaping that for me. If you don't catch that reference, please stop listening and go rant Young Frankenstein. Any more points, Kim or Steph or Gabby? Anything jump out at you?
We were talking early about how Buffy's Buffy's nightmares just seemed a lot deeper than everyone else's. And I kind of like that because, again, we're trying to learn more about each character. Mm-hmm. And I really like when they try, when they're moving the big story arc along, then it's like, okay, I'm watching for this reason, which I like.
Yeah, there was a lot of Buffy character development in this episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And really, I mean, it's like, you know, she's, there's so much more you're going to learn about what lies inside her, her potential.
All right. You guys.
Full circle we have now come.
Are we ready to rate the episode?
I say about a 7. 6.5, 7. It wasn't my favorite. Not at all.
If it didn't turn into an after-school special, I would have given it a 9.75. But wow. And then there's no bronze, so of course there's a deduction for that. So I'm going to give it an 8.5.
I love the fact that the bronze... I look forward to that every episode. The fact that the bronze showing up in an episode factors into your score. It's very, very
funny. it adds one full point, FYI. So if there's ever an episode that's awesome and the bronze is in it, it gets an 11. Ha!
I don't think you're allowed to give an episode an 11. We're going to have to renegotiate if you want to do that. Sorry. Them's the rules.
Okay.
Steph?
I would say a 7. It's just like that Xander's dream where he's in the hall with the candy bars and the swastika. That's just so weird. It just doesn't make any sense. And the hornets outside. And I say a 7.
Robin?
Well, I would definitely give it 4 Canadian Tire dollars. But they do just, I mean, honestly, the music's terrible. It's poorly edited. But, you know,
yeah.
It's
definitely.
Too much exposition, Robin.
Oh, here we go. but I mean, the fact that they pointed out that not just fat guys follow a trail of chocolate, raise it up to 5.
So 5 out of 10 for you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
I thought when he was following the chocolate bars, it was going. He was going to like reveal that he was this big fat kid. Mm. Like that was his nightmare.
That thought had crossed my mind as well.
Interesting. Yeah,
he was kind of buff, almost.
Well, I must say that this episode, I'm going to change my rating system. Out of
the poutine?
Yeah, out of 38, I'm going to give this episode a lucky 19.
Oh, that's a knee slapper right there.
Sorry, folks, but it had to be done.
That's the best.
Quotes, anyone?
Oh, there's so many.
I'm afraid because now, like, there are 5 of us, and I only have 1 and 1 backup. So I really think it's going to get stolen.
You should go first, then.
Yeah. Go first, yes, then, yeah. First.
All right. Weighs heavy on the cerebral cortex. Robin?
Oh, the Midnight Blue Angora.
It was no hot teacher talk. What's up with that?
I don't even want to talk about the absence of Miss Callender.
Oh, but Miss Tischler.
Tischler? I hardly know her.
Hey-o! That was a good one, Johnny. You should see the setup here. I really honestly feel like a big man.
Oh.
I am wearing my Karnak hat.
Okay. Can I say my line over again?
Yes, yeah, sorry, please. Kim, go ahead.
Your balloon animals are pathetic. Everyone can make a giraffe. Thank you.
Hello, doofus, you're in my light.
Steph?
I'm not worried. If there's something bad out there, we'll find, you'll slay, we'll party. This was a terrible episode. This had no Joss lines in it at all.
Excuse me, when did they put a cemetery across the street? I thought that was kind of all right. It was a good Xander line.
Can I do my backup?
Yeah, do your backup.
They're from the Middle East?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
My backup was thanks a bunch, Billy. I didn't make the cut. No. So what are we supposed to do our homework for next week, Steph?
Next week is Out of Mind, Out of Sight.
Hmm. Out of sight, out of mind, or out of mind, out of sight?
Out of mind, out of sight.
Dear listeners, first of all, thank you for listening to us, and we hope that you are enjoying what we're putting out. If you'd like to talk to us about Buffy or about what we're doing on this show, feel free to contact us via voicemail, 270-40-BUFFY. You can also contact us through the miracle that is email at
PotentialCast@gmail.com.
That's right. You can follow PotentialCast on Twitter, twitter.com/PotentialCast, and you can, you know, follow us on Twitter as well if you'd like. We'd like to thank Robin for having the courage to come all the way up to Canada to my studio here and be a guest on the show, and who knows, he may be around for another episode very soon.
I did pack a bag for a week, so...
I'm sorry, what?
I did pack a bag for the week, so yeah, I'm kind of...
I'm here. Leaving town on Monday, so I don't know... I have to go to the Toronto area.
Oh.
Mm.
Yes.
Ooh.
So once again, thank you very much for listening. And until next time, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Grog. Oh, there's a four-year-old just walked in here. Hi, four-year-old.
Hello.
Hi.
What are you doing up?
Does he resemble Michael Cera?
Yeah, he looks like a little mini Michael Cera guy.
Little Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah. Hey, nice shoes.
I've just been brought beer.
Yes, you have. That's a twist top, so you'll be happy. We don't have to go get the bottle.
I got some space things.
Just so you guys know, Nicholas did not bring me the beer.
I was going to say, did he bring you a beer?
This kid rules. No.
He does rule. With an iron fist. Oh, you brought me my... Kim, this is Robin. Robin, this is Kim.
Hi, Kim.
Kim is the first lady of Lost Podcasting.
Nice.
Actually, because she's Canadian, she's the Governor General of Lost Podcasting.
I'm the sixth lady. I don't know what that means.
Yes, you are.